The scripture reading for today is Luke 24, 13 through 32. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interrupted them, the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?'" This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, you opened the meaning of Scripture to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and set their hearts ablaze. By the power of your Spirit, kindle our hearts as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may receive you with joy. Amen. So, like I said before, holy humor is a real thing. It was started in Bavaria during the 15th century as a way of celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And they called it Risus Pascalis, or God's joke, because God played the supreme joke on death by raising Jesus. And people would honor the day by playing practical jokes and telling riddles and doing little gags. It was actually a pretty raucous occasion. But then in the mid 17th century, Pope Clement X came onto the scene, and he outlawed Holy Humor Sunday, probably because he wasn't very humorous, but also maybe because some of the Christians got kind of carried away with some of their pranks. And the best that I could figure out, there's a group called the Fellowship of Merry Christians, and they started encouraging churches to resurrect some of these traditions in 1988. So it hasn't really come back onto the scene a whole lot since then. So some churches do mark the occasion, as we're doing here today. Others don't. I've got some colleagues who aren't familiar with it at all, and there are a lot more who are familiar with it, but they're just not as cool as I am, and so they're not really marking it with anything sort of special. But I cannot pass up a good, I can't let a good liturgical celebration like this pass me by. I will say that it was difficult for me to narrow down the scripture. There are all sorts of literary genre in the Bible that, you know, you've got history and drama, poetry, prophecy, letters, narratives, and interspersed among all of that is comedy. One of the most important things about comedy is the element of surprise. We think a story is headed in one direction, and then something comes out from left field, and the story ends with something wholly unexpected, and that results in a laugh. That surprise ending, the unanticipated punchline, and that those are the things that grab our attention and just make us laugh. Jesus was the master at this. His whole life and his ministry was full of surprise and humor. The nicknames that he gave some of the disciples were names that kind of poked a little bit of fun at them. The disciples themselves, with their misunderstandings and their mess-ups, albeit well-intentioned, were still mess-ups. They produced some pretty humorous moments. A lot of the things that Jesus said and did would have been outlandishly hilarious to followers and listeners. Jesus' parables, the way that he interacted with people, his daily life, all of it full of unexpected reversals. The poor came out ahead of the rich. He reaches down to the outcast rather than towards the outwardly righteous. He ignores man-made rules to fully obey God's commandments. He's full of surprises, and many of those are just downright funny. A lot of times we might not get it right away because the context of culture, location, and language are there and very different to how we live today, but trust me, it's hilarious. Jesus was smart and clever and witty and warm. And we know that because of his teachings. We know that because of the kinds of people that came to him. Children aren't usually fond of dour, grumpy people. And children flocked to Jesus. And if Jesus wept, he most certainly laughed. Because of his humanity and lightheartedness, his followers, then and now, have sought him out. People have sought him out all the time. So today's scripture sounds a little bit like a setup to a joke. Two men walk down a road. A guy comes up to them and says, "Ugh, something smells like up Jesus in here." And the men look really confused and they go, "What's up, Jesus?" And Jesus takes off his Groucho Marx glasses and he says, "Not much, what's up with you?" But anyway, so that's not really what happened, but there is a lot of irony and surprising twists in this story. And all of it is made that much more humorous because we, the readers, we know things that the main characters don't. There are two men walking down the road, and they're likely followers of Jesus, but not the original 12 that we usually think of. One of them is named Cleopas, and that's not a familiar name to us. But it might have had some meaning to people 2,000 years ago. We don't know much about Emmaus, the town that they're traveling to. It's not otherwise written about. These men that are walking down the road, they've heard about the woman finding the empty tomb, but it's not clear that they fully believe that Jesus has been resurrected. Before joining the men on the road, Jesus has prevented them from recognizing him. He puts on his Groucho Marx glasses. And right off the bat, we, the readers, know something that the two travelers don't. When Jesus asks to join the conversation, they're sad. They're not just sad because Jesus died. They're mostly sad because Jesus didn't meet all of their expectations. In a classic case of irony, Cleopas is acting as the know-it-all. And he asks this stranger if he's the only person alive who hasn't heard about what's happened. When in fact, this stranger is the only one who truly knows the meaning of all that has happened. Jesus continues the joke, and he feigns ignorance as Cleopas recounts the events of the passion. And we, all of us, we know that Cleopas doesn't have the answers that he thinks he does. The travelers are disheartened. They expected Jesus to liberate the people from Roman occupation, that Jesus was to be the fulfillment of the ancient promises made by God. But he was handed over to the state for execution. The irony that we're aware of is, of course, that Jesus did fill the scriptural promises. The men go on to tell how the women went to the tomb and they came back telling these tales about angels and an empty grave, how other people went over out to check out the women's reports, and sure enough, the tomb was empty, but no one else saw angels or Jesus. I can imagine Jesus sort of chuckling to himself as the men talk, until he finally begins the process of slowly revealing himself and the meaning of his death and resurrection. Jesus whips out his pocket Torah scrolls and he gives a multi-point lecture on the messianic completion. The men still don't quite understand. Not only has Jesus risen, but the scripture has been fulfilled. Death has been conquered, and the eternal plans and work of God are fulfilled. The men invite this stranger to lodge with them for the evening. They share a meal, and then Jesus does the thing. His Groucho glasses vanish. He takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he gives it to all of those around the table. And with those four little actions, Jesus is instantly recognized. Can you imagine their dumbfounded faces, their jaws on the floor? But before they can even get a word out, Jesus is gone. And they're saying, dude, nobody is going to believe this. The men talk more about how all the signs were there when they were walking. How did they not recognize Jesus? Jesus' theological lecture makes so much more sense. It has so much more meaning. The teaching and the meal go together. Jesus is revealed to them through the breaking of the bread. But it's because along the road, as they were walking, he also explained scripture so that they knew who it was that they know. The men walking down the road is a great example of God's humor. We read it understanding the things that the characters don't. There are disguises, twists, and slow revelations of understanding. What was initially a story of fear and death, it ends with the risen Lord filling their hearts with life and truth. And their lives would never be the same. The biggest joke, the ultimate reason to laugh, however, is the divine joke that God played on death. Sin was holding all of humanity captive, and death thought that it had won when Jesus died. But God's got a little trick up the sleeve. The tomb is empty. Jesus is raised. And this is what Holy Humor celebrates. We laugh knowing that we have been freed from the power of sin and death. We laugh at the defeat of death's imagined power. We laugh with joy over Christ's victory on the cross and in the resurrection. We laugh with gratitude that we are in on the Easter joke that assured all of us eternal life. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Look Who Gathers at Christ's Table. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, north and south, and sit at table at the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when
Our risen Lord was at table with his disciples. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. This is not Glenshaw Valley's table. It is not even a Presbyterian table. This is God's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks.
God of every moment, your mouth was filled with laughter as you sang creation into being. The heavens rang with shouts of joy as fruit-bearing trees sprang up, as green pastures rippled with wonder. Crafted in your image, you would offer us the bounty of grace, but we chose the destroyer, death, hanging out with the life cutter, sin. Prophets and psalmists were sent by you, longing to restore us to your side, but we put their words to shame. So that everyone might be saved, Jesus, herald of your grace, bringer of your truth, you came to be with us so that everyone might be saved. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy God, wonder and delight. All creation is filled with joy. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes to clothe us in grace. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, restorer of broken lives. Jesus Christ, seeing the nightmare of our lives, became one of us, so that we might see the dreams that you have for us. Knowing how our hearts overflowed with fear, bitterness, and worries, he came to us with peace and comfort, teaching that the body is more than sin, that life is more than death. He sacrificed himself and became our salvation by rising from the grave. As we give thanks for his life and death, we shout with joy for his resurrection. We speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. God, pour out your spirit upon this bread and wine to be holy food and drink of new and unending life in you. Empty, we will be filled with the plenty of your grace. May the broken bread strengthen us so we might bring healing to a world shattered by violence and despair. Before he was handed over to die, he sat at dinner with his friends. He took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Eat this, all of you. This is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took wine. He gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." May the cup of blessing and hope fill us with your love to bring compassion to a world in need. And when all of our worrying hours are ended, when we are clothed in your mercy forever, we will gather with our sisters and brothers, our mouths bursting with laughter, our hearts singing songs of joy to you. O Lord, our God, the three in whom, one whom we are one. The gifts of God for the people of God. There's so many of you.
Let us pray. Foolish, foolish God, your belly laugh echoes through the world. We've responded to your invitation to join the banquet. Here we have eaten, we have drunk, we have tasted your goodness. May the joy we find in this meal together lift up our hearts. May we carry your laughter to the world around us. May we live out that foolishness called love wherever we go. Amen.